Parshas Shemois. Towards the beginning of this week's parasha, we find, of course, the famous Gezerah made by Paroi, by Yitzav Paroi, L'chol Amo Elemoir, Kol HaBein HaYiloid HaYo'ira Tashvichuhu. Any son that is born must be cast into the Nile, V'chol HaBath T'chayun. But every daughter, however, may be allowed to live. As we know, the story develops, Moshe Rabbeinu is born, because his mother Yocheved is afraid that he will be caught. So she puts him in the Tevah in the river, and then he is discovered. He is discovered by none other than the daughter of Paroi, Basyo. She reaches for the Tevah, she takes the Tevah, she finds the child within. And she then exclaims the following. The Pasuk writes in Perek Beis, Vatiptach Vatireyu es hayeled. She opens the Tevah, and she sees within it is a young child, Vihine Na'ar Boicha, and the child is crying, Vatach Moilalov, and she has compassion on him, Vatoimer, and she says, Miyalde Ho'ivrim Ze. This is surely one of the Jewish children. The question that we need to discuss tonight is, how in fact did Basyo know that this was a Jewish child? So simply we would say, well, obviously she knew, because who else would have put a child in the river? Why would an Egyptian have put the child in the river? Surely this is, must be one of the Jews who is clearly afraid to be caught, and that's why they put their child in the Tevah. But that doesn't really offer us a satisfactory answer, because Rashi says, on the pasuk that we began with, Vayitzav Paroi Lechol Amoy, he instructed the Egyptians also, their sons should also be cast into the sea, because his astrologers told him, Hayoim Noilad Moishion. Today the Savior of Klal Yisrael has been born. The problem is, they told him, this is the way Rashi quotes it, Ve'ein onu yoidin. We do, however, not know im Mimitzrayim, im Mimitzrayim. We can see, by gazing into the stars, that is going to be, his downfall will be through water, and that's of course why the Gzeirah was to throw them into the water. But they could not tell whether it was a Jew or a non-Jew. And Rashi says quite clearly, and this is Maduyik in the Pasuk, Vayitzav Paroi L'chol Amoy. It doesn't say Vayitzav Paroi L'klal Yisrael, but rather Paroi instructed all of his nation. And Rashi therefore says, and the Medrash says, by the way, exactly the same, Kol HaBein HaYiloid, every son, Jewish or not Jewish, must be thrown into the river. If that's the case, then our question comes back. So how on earth did Basyo know that the child that she discovered was in fact Jewish? The mere fact that he'd been hiding in the river was surely no proof. It may well have been an Egyptian child. So the Gemara in Soto says, "Vatoimar miyalde ho'ivrim zeh mino yodo." How did she know? So the Gemara says, because she saw that he had bris milah. She'ro'aso oisoi mohul. The Ramban, the Rashbam, and others quote this. That's how she knew. It was very simple. If she saw that this child was mohul, she knew he obviously must be one of the Jews. The Or HaChaim learns a little bit differently, and he says, it's a chidush in the pasuk, that the way that Basyo knew that this child was Jewish was from the fact that he refused to nurse from the non-Jewish woman who was offering to nurse him. That's how she knew that this child must be Jewish. It's a chidush, because the pasuk seems to imply that she knew straight away that the child was Jewish. Says, she opened up the Tevah, she heard the child cry, and she said, this child is one of the Jews. So it's a chidush to say that actually she only realized this afterwards, when the child refused to nurse from the mitzvahs. But that's the way the Or HaChaim works. Either way, what we'd like to present tonight is a completely different interpretation, and most of what we're going to quote now I saw in a sefer, which we have quoted in the past. There is a series of Svarim, which is still in the middle of being published, Yerach Lemoyadim. It's a series of Sfarim, Bahalocha, Ba'agoda, written by one of the Rosh Yeshivas in Lakewood, Rabbi Rucham Olshin Shlita, married to a granddaughter of Rabbi Aaron Kotler. Al Kol Ponim Ve'ofen, in one of his Sfarim, actually this is to be found, and you'll soon see why, this is to be found in his Sefer on Tisha B'Av. And what we're about to quote is really an amalgamation of three different pieces in his Sefer. Maima Membeis, Maima Yud Gimel, and Maima Yud Ches, but we will see Be'ezus Hashem, Dvorim, Nifloim emerge. We say every day, At the end of our Shmona Esra, when we finish, we say Yehi Rotzein, etc., etc. Sheyibone Beis Hamikdash v'mheira b'yomenu. The Ramah in Simon Kuf Chav Gimel tells us that this is the minhag, that we finish the Shmona Esra Yehi Rotzein Sheyibone Beis Hamikdash. Why? Because our tefillah is in place of avodah, and we're therefore requesting that in Mitzvah Hashem we should have the Beis Hamikdash restored, such that we will have the real avodah restored as well. The Chidah, in his Sefer the Birkei Yosef, quotes that some say that the nusach of our tefillah is actually incorrect. If you say Yehi Rotzein Milfonecha, we are addressing the Ribbono Shel Olam, then grammatically, surely we should have said Yehi Rotzein Shetivne Beis Hamikdash. May it be your will that you will build the Beis Hamikdash. But we don't say that. We say Yehi Rotzein Sheyibone, that it should be built, which L'chaira means it will be built by human hands. But that's a little bit strange, because we're addressing the Ribbono Shel Olam, so we should have said Shetivne. In fact, he says there were some who have the Girsa and the Nusach Shetivne Beis Hamikdash. But that's not our Nusach, and therefore this needs explanation. Why indeed do we say Yehi Rotzein Sheyibone Beis Hamikdash? A similar question, and this really opens up the whole topic for us. Rashi in a number of places tells us, in Sukkah and elsewhere, that the Beis HaMikdash, the third Beis HaMikdash, the one that we are davening for its restoration, will actually be Yoreid Min HaShomayim, Meshuchlal, totally constructed. It will not have to be physically built. Why is Rashi teaching that to us? It comes involved in the sugya of Yoim Hanaf, Ayin Shom. That's not our discussion. But the bottom line is that Rashi clearly tells us, quoting a Chazal, that the Bayis Hashlishi will descend from heaven in a spiritual fire, and the Beis HaMikdash will be fully constructed. And if that's the case, the Oroch Leneir asks, so why do we always talk about Mehera Yibone Beis HaMikdash? May the Beis HaMikdash soon be constructed. There's nothing to be constructed. Surely we should have said, and may it be soon that the Beis HaMikdash should be revealed or should descend. But what do you mean, Yibone Beis HaMikdash? There's surely nothing to be built. So with this, we come to a most magnificent and a very important Chasam Sofer in Droshes. We say every day in davening, in the bracha of Boine Yerushalayim, Vil Yerushalayim, Ircha, etc., etc., and we finish off the bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem, Boine Yerushalayim. Boine means constructing. Yerushalayim is being constructed in the present tense. This is based on a pasuk, which we also say every day, Boine Yerushalayim Hashem Nidche Yisrael Lechanes. And the Chasam Sofer is very troubled. Why do we talk about Yerushalayim being built in the present? Surely it should have said, Yivne Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim will be built. But Boine in the present, it's being built now. Are bricks being laid as we speak? What does it mean, Boine Yerushalayim? And here we get to a tremendous yesod of the Chasam Sofer in his Droshes. The Chasam Sofer says, Yerushalayim is indeed being built. How so? I want to quote the words because they are magnificent. Habechiyo v'hatzar. It is the crying and the pain shel avele tzion. Of those who mourn Yerushalayim, Hainu Binyonoi, that is, in fact, its construction. When, eventually, all the Avelus and all the Tzar, which brings about the building of the Beis HaMikdash, is finally complete, then, and only then, the Beis HaMikdash will indeed descend from heaven. Ha-hesped v'ha-bechi al-ha-churban hu atzmus Habinyan is in fact its very construction. The Chasam Sofer has taught us a Yisoid Nifla B'Yosef. Yerushalayim will not be built in the future. It is currently being built. Who's building it? Klal Yisrael are building it. It is through the crying, it is through the Tsar and the Avelos, that is the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, and we'll explain this in a minute. Such that it's quite true. Yes, the Beis HaMikdash will eventually descend from heaven fully built, But who's built it? And the answer is, Klal Yisrael built it. When? Right now. How so? Through the Bechi and through the Tsar. So much so, listen to the most phenomenal Shloh HaKadosh. The Shloh says, that's why there's no Avelus for the Beis HaMikdosh on Shabbos. Do you know why? Because you can't build the Beis HaMikdosh on Shabbos. In other words, the Avelus is the Binyan. And if you cannot be Boina the Beis HaMikdosh on Shabbos, then by definition you cannot mourn the Beis HaMikdosh on Shabbos, because the mourning of the Beis HaMikdosh is in fact its construction. If that's the case, then we understand very well why we daven every day. Yirotze milfonecha, and then we say, Sheyibone Beis HaMikdosh. We asked, why are we talking about Sheyibone Beis HaMikdosh? Surely it should have said, Shetivne, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will build the Beis HaMikdosh. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not building the Beis HaMikdosh. Klal Yisrael are building the Beis HaMikdosh. When is that? When does that occur? Right now, in the present tense. Boine Yerushalayim. When the Orach Lanei asked, surely if the Beis HaMikdosh is fully constructed, we're merely waiting it for it to be revealed, so why do we talk about Mehira Yibone? Yibone a Beis HaMikdosh is nothing to be built. There absolutely is. Because we're building the Beis HaMikdosh. Eventually, when we, with our Bechi, with our Tsar, with our Avelos, that is the construction of the Beis HaMikdosh, as we're about to explain why and how, then eventually the Beis HaMikdosh will become built through the Tsar, through the tears of Klal Yisrael, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring it down from Shemayim. A Yesoid Niflo of the Chasam Sofer. This, however, needs some serious explanation. What does this mean? What does this mean that through the crying, through the Tsar, that is in fact the mourning of the Beis HaMikdosh, the Avelos, is its construction? What does that mean? And in order to understand this, we need to understand the nature of crying. We need to understand what indeed it means to cry, and then eventually we'll come back to Moshe Rabbeinu and his crying in the Teva. We all know the famous Gemara that tells us that on Tisha B'Av was the night of the Meraglim. Tisha B'Av was Churban Bayis Rishon. Tisha B'Av was Churban Bayis Sheni. That's no coincidence, because the Gemara says, famously, that when the Meraglim returned and Klal Yisrael cried, a Bechia Shel Chinom, a pointless cry, purposeless, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, because you've been crying, a Bechia Shel Chinom, V'ani Kaveya Lachem Bechia L'Doiris. I will indeed ensure that you will have to cry on this day every year. Bochoi sivke balailo. Bochoi sivke. Two cryings. First Mikdosh, second Mikdosh, all came about as a result of that purposeless cry when the Meraglim returned. Why is the emphasis over here on the crying? Is that why there was a Churban Beis HaMikdosh? Because Klal Yisrael cried for no reason? Was that the main sin? Surely the main sin was the very fact that they rejected Eretz Yisrael and they believed the Meraglim, which eventually resulted, it's true, in crying. But it's mashma from Chazal that the Churban came about because of the crying, not because of the fact that they listened to the Meraglim. Why is the crying over here the central sin? And the answer is as follows. We need to understand, what is a cry? What is a cry? There is a sefer, a beautiful sefer, a very popular sefer nowadays, the Nesiva Sholem of the Slonim Rebbe. And he says, when Basya opened the teva and she heard the child cry, listen to his words, Mibachiosoi, it was from the nature of the cry, Hikira Shehu Yehudi. She did not know that he was Jewish because he refused to nurse or because he was Mohel, but as is most Meduyik in the Pasuk, when she saw the child, she heard the child cry. This is a Jewish cry. What does that mean, a Jewish cry? She heard that it was a Bechi Shel Tikva. It was a cry of hope. V'loi Bechi Shel Yush. It was not a cry of despair. A cry of despair is a different type of cry. That's the cry of a goy. And therefore, she was able to discern that this is a very particular type of cry. Moshe Rabbeinu's cry is a Jewish cry. It is one of hope. It is one of bitochen, rather than doom and gloom and despair. And he explains with a very important story. The Ramah quotes the following story. After the Churban Beis HaMikdosh, the great philosopher Plato met Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Yirmiyahu HaNavi was sitting and crying, and the great philosopher asked him two questions. Why are you crying? Firstly, you're a great Chacham. So, why are you crying about the mere loss of Eitzim Va'avonim? After all, it's a building made of wood and stone. That's why you're sitting and crying for the loss of wood and stone? Question number two, number one. Question number two is, even were it not to be wood and stone, even had it been a very precious building, but don't we have a principle? There's no point crying in spilt milk. No point crying over spilt milk. It's been destroyed. So it's inappropriate. It doesn't seem very fitting for a chacham like you to be crying over something that's happened. Let bygones be bygones. So Yirmiyahu HaNavi said, let me answer your first question. You said, what's so special about this building after all? It's just Eitzim Va'avonim. Tell me, Plato, do you have any unanswered questions of philosophy? Yes, I do, said Plato. Questions that I've grappled with for years and years and years with no success. Says Yirmiyahu HaNavi, let's hear them, one after another. And he proceeded then to unload with his most difficult, taxing questions in philosophy, every one of which Yirmiyahu HaNavi answered on the spot. And Plato was amazed. Where did you get such chokhmah? Says Yirmiyahu HaNavi. You don't know where I got that chokhmah from? That very building, as you describe, of Eitzim Va'avonim. That's the makor of all chokhmah. You're asking me, why am I crying over merely, which is a building? All it is a building of Eitzim Va'avonim. Yes, but look what this building does. It's the makor, it's the shefa for us of everything, even chokhmah. That's the answer to your first question. It's not just a building. With regard to your second question, however, why would I cry? After all, it's already been destroyed. He says, I'm afraid to say, I can't answer. At least, I can't answer you, because you have no way of understanding the answer to this. Okay? So he's a goy. He can't answer. He cannot possibly comprehend the answer to this question. But we can. What in fact is the answer to this question? The Alter from Kelm says that Plato was 100% right. There's no point crying over spilt milk. That which has happened has happened. However, we understand that when we cry, a Jewish cry is very different to a non-Jewish cry. A non-Jewish cry is one of despair. Look what we've lost. It's never to be returned. We're doomed. That's all about the past. And if you look at things like that, then the question is valid and the question has no answer. There's nothing to cry about. It's happened. But a Jewish cry is an altogether different cry. It says, Yirmiyahu HaNavi to Plato, you have no way of understanding this. When we're crying, we are not crying about the past. We're crying with hope and with bitochin that it will be restored in the future. So it's not that there is no answer. There is an answer. But as a non-Jew, you have no frame of reference. You have no capability of understanding this. Because a non-Jewish cry is indeed all about the past. Yiyush. Total despair. That's not a Jewish cry. A Jewish cry is always full of bitochin. We b'teach in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that however bleak the situation might look, but it could always turn around. B'chipozin. B'itoyach yishenu. The geula could come in an instant. If that's the case, we understand now what it was about the Meraglim. When Klal Yisrael heard this very scary report from the Meraglim, Eretz Yisrael is a land in which they are full of mighty people, it consumes its inhabitants. Klal Yisrael perhaps were not to be blamed for listening to them and believing them. Remember, the Meraglim were the greatest of Klal Yisrael, at least in the beginning. That was not the essence of the sin. The Aveira was that they cried. And what type of cry? The Bechia Shel Chinom. If you really had bitochen in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, then you may well have cried, but you would have cried not out of despair, Shel Chinom, purposeless, but rather you would have had bitochen in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that however scary Eretz Yisrael looks, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu can protect them. Whatever it is they're afraid of, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more powerful. And therefore, the Aveira of the Meraglim was not so much the report about Eretz Yisrael, but rather Klal Yisrael's reaction to it. It was a Bechia Shel Chinom. That's a non-Jewish cry. That's a non-Jewish cry. That's the cry of despair. Eretz Yisrael seems to be so overwhelming, we have no hope. We're finished. But that's not the way a Jew cries. A Jew cries with bitochein, with tikva, kaveh el Hashem. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you cry the Bechia Shel Chinom, then your job every year will be to be boicha, a different type of crying. The avelus over the Beis HaMikdash. That crying over the Beis HaMikdash is rectifying the sin of the Meraglim, meaning it's a cry which emanates from a place of bitochen, faith and hope. So indeed, it's not crying about the past. It's crying about the Beis HaMikdash, which we are assured and believe be'emuno shalema will be restored in the future. And if that's the case, we now understand. When the Chasam Sofer said, Boine Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is being built now. Why is it being built now? And the Chasam Sofer said, it's through the Avelus. It's through the Tzar. The Avelus, the mourning over the Beis HaMikdash, is its very construction. So much so that the Shloah HaKadosh said, you cannot mourn for the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos because you're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. And the Avelus on the Beis HaMikdash is the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. We now understand the Yesod. Why is the Avelus over the Beis HaMikdash its construction? And the answer is, because when we are Mis'abel of Yerushalayim, when we're crying over Yerushalayim, that's not a Bechir Shel Chinom. That's not a non-Jewish Plato-type cry. That's a Bechir of Bitochein. And indeed, in the Zechus of that Bitochein, the Beis HaMikdash is constructed once again. So we understand, therefore, the picture is now complete. It all begins in this parasha. Basya opens the teva, and she sees that the child is crying, and she, on her lofty level, was able to discern that this is a Jewish cry. This was not a cry of despair. This was not a cry of Yush, but this was a cry of tikva and bitochin. And that's what it means. V'hinei na'ar boicha. And she said, miyalde ho'ivrim zeh. She was able to discern that this is a uniquely Jewish cry. And that's always been our secret. And that's why we daven every day, Yirotzeh milfonecho, sheyibone beis hamikdash. Not shetivne, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will build it, because we're building it. How so? When are we building it? Boine Yerushalayim, we're building the Beis HaMikdash right now through mourning of it. Through the Bechi, through the Miyalde HaIvrim, through the child, through the Jewish type cry, the cry of Bitochein, that's how the Beis HaMikdash is being rebuilt. When we cried at the time of the Meraglim, that was the Bechir Shel Chinom. That was a purposeless cry, meaning that indeed was a non-Jewish cry. It's not that the crying was unjustified. Indeed, there were very terrifying circumstances. But had they had bitochein, then they would have cried with hope. We believe firmly be'emuna shalema that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to be shomer and matzil us. They didn't cry like that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, every year you will have to learn the painful lesson of how to cry. Not a bechir shel chinom, but rather a bechir over the avelus of the Beis HaMikdash, and that is its construction. Mehera yibone HaMikdash. Indeed, it will be built. Why will it be built? Didn't Chazal say that it will descend from heaven fully built? Indeed, it will. But who will build it? How indeed did it get to that situation of becoming built? The answer is, Boine Yerushalayim. It's currently being built by Klal Yisrael. Through the crying, through the mourning, through the Bechi of a Yid, a Jewish Yiddish cry of Bitochein, that is the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. Let us just conclude with one line from the Heilige Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim writes in Machane Yisrael, Va'al yir lepele be'enei ha'odom. You might well be asking the following question. How could it be? How could it possibly be that our doyer, our weak, small generation, will bring about the Beis HaMikdash? when generations that preceded us were far greater, and they did not succeed in bringing about the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So it's going to be our Dor that will do it? Says the Chofetz Chaim, Dezeh Einoi Kushya. The question doesn't need an answer, rather the question is a non-question. Yes, we are indeed Ketanim Harbe Me'avoseinu. We are small people compared to our forefathers. And he brings this wonderful turn of phrase, but we are the midget riding on the shoulders of the giant. All those tears in the previous generations, every tear was another brick, was another part in the construction. And therefore, all we need to do now is finish it off. We're not bringing about the Beis HaMikdash when the previous generations couldn't. To the contrary, most of the work has been done by those far greater than all of us. We are just the mere midgets, but we're riding on the shoulders of giants. All those tears over hundreds and thousands of years are all added up, and they all are mitztaref to bring about the Boinei Yerushalayim. And we know indeed, Yeshua Hashem Keheref Ayin. That's what we daven, Lishuascha Kivinu Kol Hayim. All of this is being taught to us by Batya and by Moshe Rabbeinu. When she opens the teva and she hears the cry and she says, that's a Jewish child. How did she know? It must be a Jewish child because it was a Jewish cry. The Jewish cry has been keeping us going for all of these Deire Deiris, Bedomai Chayi. Through the most difficult circumstances, we've always cried, but not in despair, but rather, b'tikva, u'b'bitochin, boine Yerushalayim, yibone beis hamikdash, may indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu gather up all of these tears, so that eventually, mehera, yibone beis hamikdash, and indeed we should see the beis hamikdash fully rebuilt, being descended from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, b'mehera, b'yomeinu, amen.